Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I. All things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, I said, Ben, don't take her, she's all I've got. Please don't take her love away from me. I'm begging you, Ben, don't take her, she's all I've got. She's everything in life I'll ever need. She is life. When I want to live, she's everything to me in life that life can give. She's my water when I need a drink. She's the first thought in my mind each time I try to think. Let me tell you now, friend.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Dave with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Every weekday at 7 p.m., we are live here at Redneck and Eyes Radio. Call in 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. We're also on Facebook Live. Appreciate everybody joining in for that. Let me click over and make sure I can see the comments. You're going to see them. There we go. All right. Good deal. So we can see that there, and everybody can join in, comment on Facebook Live if you want to. But we're all talking over here at it's blogtalkradio.com. That's where we're at. It's 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. And before we go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. You can check them out at truckertools.com or download the Trucker Tools app. We appreciate all their support. They're the ones where you can book freight, track freight. You can even book your like your route planning and find some truck stops, maintenance facilities, fuel stops, stuff like that. They even have a place where you can search for parking spots and pay for them there on the app. So good stuff. Check it out. TruckerTools.com, the app for truckers. We appreciate everybody's support on that. So ain't much going on. High fuel prices. I tell you what, that's about it. If you Google anything going on in trucking, man, there's a bunch of stupid stuff going on out there. The top of the list, I guess at least yesterday, is Harvard Business Review. Oh, yeah. That's exactly who I want to listen to when it comes to the trucking industry. They say that new data suggests the U.S. trucking shortage may be ending. And they're talking about capacity is just about over. Like the shortage of U.S. trucking capacity is just about over. That's what they're talking about. So I don't know. We may dive into that if anything, but, you know, whatever. You know, the funny thing to me is that the United States Postal Service, there a lot of trucking companies that are hauling mail as contractors for the post office, they're filing for bankruptcy. One out of Missouri, they filed Chapter 7 and shut down like earlier last week or later last week. And then earlier this week, a California-based trucking company filed Chapter 11. And I guess they got too much debt, I don't know, is what it seems like. What it looks like, what's going on is that there was a law that got passed a couple of years ago where the post office needs to revamp its contractor agreements, and they're not paying like a just straight up contract anymore. They're paying actually by the load, by the mile, just like any other business would do it. And these companies are like, no, I just need a straight up just cash money, just no matter how much work I do for you. it's like, what the hell? You know, so that kind of was it was a surprise to me that looks like that. Well, you know what? It's no surprise that it's like before this new administration took over, there's a lot of revamping going on about how the government spends its money. And they were spending money. They were still spending money. But it looks like they were trying to like say, you know what? We need to spend it in better ways. And, of course, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? Let's just cut the Postal Service altogether. I don't think we need it at all. I mean, I get everything by email. And all my packages and stuff, well, that comes off of the you know, UPS or FedEx, you know, I mean, there's tons of places that I can do that and, you know, and everything. And everything else is online. So I don't know what they need that for. And even if, you know, I mean, for argument's sake, let's just say that, you know, hey, I need to still be able to send a birthday card or send, you know, mail, like I still need to get maybe a bank statement or something every now and then. Well, those other companies can do it. UPS, you know, they can send you, you know, all you got to do is say from now on, all the regular mail goes through the UPS. So, you know, that's not hard, you know, so let's see how that goes. I don't know, but that was two in the span of like, 7 to 10 days that happened. So, you know, that's the way that goes. And other news, I tell you what, still trucking, but just a cool thing that's going on is next weekend. So Memorial Day weekend is next weekend. What is it? May 28th is Saturday, May 29th is Sunday. Well, Sunday, May 29th. And I think it's probably going to be every movie theater is going to have the same times, which is going to be at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock in the evening. Only two showings, but on Sunday, May 29th, two showings in the movie theater, 45th anniversary of Smokey and the Bandit. So you can go to the movie theater and see it. And that's just freaking awesome. You know, something to really enjoy. And I don't know if anybody was around. I know that I wasn't going to the movie theaters when that sucker first came out. And if I was, it was only going to go see like Snow White or something. But so that's going to be coming out in movie theaters, and it's a special deal. You know what I'll do? I'll go ahead and pull this up, and I'll put it on some screen sharing here, so we can take a look at it.
Bandit, is that your name or your profession?
That's my handle.
Hitch a Ride to Smokey and the Bandit, returning to cinemas May 29th and June 1st and 2nd only.
Set up a roadblock.
Featuring exclusive insights from TCM. For more information, go to fathomevents.com.
And that's the way it is right there. That's awesome. So, yeah. The Fathom Events, I don't know if you've ever been to that before, but I saw that a couple of years ago. I saw Big, the Tom Hanks movie. I don't think I was paying attention to what was in theaters at the time. You know, HBO and all that stuff keeps you lined out on that. But I went to the theater and saw Big. So that was cool. The other one, I mean, I don't even think I was alive when the movie came out. And I went to the theater and saw it, and they had a big deal about it because they interviewed Steve McQueen's kids because they came out with a brand new Mustang, and they call it the Bullet Mustang. And, of course, it's a new model, but it's the same paint scheme. And what they've done is, then I watched the movie in the movie theater, and it was the movie Bullet. And that was pretty awesome because, I mean, you know, it's the music and of course they got the car chase and just the way people were acting back then. And it's funny because it was different, you know, than what we're used to seeing in today's movies. And it takes you back to where, how they made movies back then. And it seemed to be more real. So that Fathom event, that's pretty interesting, but here it is on May 29th on next Sunday. And of course it'll be on Wednesday and Thursday of that week, which is June 1st, June 2nd. And that's only going to be like a 7 o'clock in the evening show, pretty much everywhere, I think. I mean, I looked it up in several different theaters where I might be in that area. So yeah, just check it out. Like I said, you can go to fathomevents.com and they'll have everything listed on there. But I thought it was pretty cool. I love it. I remember when we were trying to go to the Dallas truck show, we were still staying. The truck parking lot was still being used over there. It's that marshaling yard parking lot where it's not really a good flat parking lot. It was over there underneath the underpass over there where the train tracks went by and it was that tunnel. And we all thought it was funny that, you know, whenever the big trucks came under the tunnel, they'd honk the horns and everything, but it was that corner right there. And you still caught the bus, but it wasn't that far. It's just a little walk. You can walk up the steps and you go right to where everything was. But that yard that parking lot was kind of sloped and it wasn't really good for hanging out or whatever, but we still did it. We hung out and one year we had a great time. They went out and spent some money, bought some barbecue. I forgot who did that, but that was a lot of fun. It was a lot of people with Kevin Rutherford, a lot of sponsors from Kevin Rutherford's group, of partnerships and all that came over there and spent a lot of money, hired a band and all that. And then for Trucker Buddy or somebody, they actually paid the Gillies. They shut the Gillies down on the other side of the highway, and Operation Roger rented golf carts. Had some, like, somebody donated golf carts to them, and they were shuttling people back and forth from the Gillies to the parking lot, and they had a bull riding contest over the mechanical bull. So that was a lot of fun. And what happened was is we saw that they had just built a brand new Alamo movie theater. And, you know, Alamo, they're the ones that where you can serve food, eat dinner. You know, you can eat a cheeseburger right there, and they'll bring it to you at the movie theater. And so that year, it was kind of like, I don't know, it might have been like maybe 2012, 2013, maybe somewhere like that. But Redneck and I's was just in its infancy and everything, and I thought what would be a great idea is if Alamo would be showing maybe some trucker movies during the truck show. And that way, during that night, you know, we can go over to the movie theater because, I mean, it was Dallas in August. So even when the sun went down, it was still 95 degrees outside. It's like, what a better way to hang out in Dallas is in an air-conditioned movie theater. Because when we were hanging out at the Mechanical Bull there in Gillies, everybody was hanging out inside because, like I said, it's still pretty, you know, even the area we were at was outside. They had the fans going and everything, and it was still pretty warm. So, but what a better way. If you're going to be anywhere in Dallas in August, you need to be inside. That's the way the cookie crumbles on that end. So, yeah. But I thought that would have been a great idea, and they sent me an email back, and they said, well, you know, it's a special deal. We have to be, like, you know, invited to play a movie. We can't just go play what we want and everything. But we'll definitely look into it. And I think 1 year, maybe 2 or 3 years after that, they had actually done that, where they actually promoted that, hey, during the truck show, we're going to play some movies, you know, and everything. And I'm not real sure because I haven't been back since because Dallas just ain't that fun anymore. Even when they moved the parking lot and tried to make more of an entertainment out there, it's just, nah, it ain't it. You know, you couldn't, not a lot of control over there and everything. And of course, you know, Redneck and I's wasn't there in all its force. So that's no fun. but other than that, you know, I like going to the movies whenever I'm out there over the road. And a movie comes out, I don't really care. I mean, I'll go park the truck in a parking lot and I either catch a ride or walk to the theater or whatever I can do. You know, I'll go to the movie theater and enjoy a movie because a lot of times in trucking, you're sitting around waiting. Sometimes the only thing you can do to burn time is go to the movies, you know, and it's just a fun experience, especially when the new ones came out. I remember when Star Wars came out, I was in Jackson, Mississippi, and I was in Georgia, going through Jackson, and I had to be in Dallas the next afternoon. And I'm like, you know what? I'll go park over there at that TA, catch an Uber over to the movie theater, which is down the road, and then Uber back, go to bed, wake up early, and get to Dallas. And that's what I did. And it worked out just fine. You know, and you can go online, you can buy tickets. Nowadays, it's all about buying tickets and you're reserving your seat. So it's not like you have to get there at a certain time to get a good seat. You reserve your seats now in most of these bigger theaters. So that kind of thing. And then you get somewhere where you're going to burn a weekend because you're sitting waiting. You know, Denver, Colorado comes to mind because there's an area over there right across the street from the TA on the other side of the highway from the TA. There's a big shopping center over there. It's all outdoors, tons of restaurants, movie, you know, things like that. And then I remember being in Phoenix one time over there by where the University of Phoenix Stadium is. They got a big area over there with a movie theater, but plenty of parking. What was the other one I was thinking about? There was Columbus, Ohio's got a good spot to go park. Minneapolis, go to the Mall of Americas. If you ever get to Minneapolis, stop by and hang out at Mall of Americas for at least a half a day. You know, if you get your time to kill, hang out at Mall of Americas. It is a sight to see because you're just going to be at the mall. And everybody's like, what's the big deal about a mall? Okay, it's the biggest mall in the United States. And I think it still is. I don't know. It's 4 stories high, and it's a big circle. And inside the circle is a theme park. Last time I was there, it was owned by it was run by Nickelodeon. So everything was Nickelodeon themed. You know, they had SpongeBob and Dora and everybody hanging out there. They had stuff hanging from the ceiling. They got a log ride, like with water and everything, inside there and all that. I didn't do much. I just walked around in amazement, like, wow, you know. And then, of course, they got a nice movie theater. They even have up on the top level, they've got like an indoor go-kart track. So they're all electric go-karts. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Electric go-karts, man, oh, man, they move. And there's a lot of those places around. I know a lot of drivers are out, you know, what can I do to kill time when I'm here hanging out, you know, and I want to I can't deliver till Monday and I'm here on Saturday night or, you know, whatever. And there's no ball game on or, you know, in the movie theaters, I've seen everything already. And these indoor golf carts, San Antonio, I know Dallas has one. Atlanta has one indoor. They're all electric and man, they move. Do they move? I tell you what, after I got done, I did two. I paid for one and I paid for another one. And then I had to go and lay down because I was out of it. I was like, man, that thing jerked me around bad. And, you know, so it's one of those things you got to watch out because if you're easily prone to injury, you need to watch yourself. I think they tell you that too. It's kind of like one of those, you know, when you're riding a roller coaster, you know, watch out. But yeah, it's, that's things to do out on the road. Go to the movie theater, hang out at the malls, you know, do some shopping, look for some deals. You know, flea markets, man, that's a lot of fun. You never know what you might find. So yeah, that's life on the road, killing time when you got time to kill, and everybody hates it. You know, as a truck driver, you know you love it where you don't have any time to kill, where you're always move, go, 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 go. That's great, making money. That's awesome. But every now and then, and of course, sometimes you just need a little downtime. But every now and then, you want to you might get stuck where you get somewhere and you're like the load got delayed another day you know, you get there a day early or something, you know, it just always something happens and you need to figure out where to go because you're not in the house or in the area or whatever. So yeah, that's what we go through. And that's the cool stuff about being on the road. But this time around, May 29th at any movie theater major movie theaters, check it out. Make sure you go and check out your local theater where it's going to be, or if you're going to be in an area, look it up. May 29th, Sunday. It's only going to be like 4 o'clock or 7 o'clock in the evening. And, it's Smoking the Bandit, the 45th anniversary coming out in the movie theaters on May 29th, Sunday. And it'll also be Wednesday and Thursday. Is it Wednesday? What did I say? And it's Wednesday and Thursday. Yep. June 1st, June 2nd. And those are going to be one time, like 7 o'clock on Wednesday, 7 o'clock on Thursday. So check those out if you're going to be in the area. And, you know, any theater, pretty much anyone. I mean, I know Cinemark will do it. I know AMC will do it. It's the Fathom Events. It's a special deal. And there'll be some behind-the-scenes commentary, stuff like that. And then they'll show the movie, and it's pretty awesome. So go check that out. Remember, thank one of our great sponsors. That's Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel and check out all of our social media accounts over there at redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate that. And we're just hanging tight here. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. See you in a bit.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and Eyes was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and eyes.
Trailer for sale or rent. Rooms to let 50 cents. No phone, no pool, no pets. Ain't got no cigarettes. Ah, but 2 hours of pushing broom. Buys a 8x12 4-bit broom. I'm a man of means by no means. King of the road.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio, and we're here. It's the 7 o'clock hour in the East Coast. We're here live every weekday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. We're also on Facebook Live. We appreciate everybody doing that for us and listening along, following along, or whatever. Like I said, but that's where we're at. We're at 515-602-9731. And if you want to be part of the conversation, just come over there and hit one and we'll get in on it. Before I go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a call at 800-634-3010. Those are the guys. They'll clean your particulate filters. They got a clean lab over there in Connecticut, and they'll you overnight them your filter. They clean it really, really good, and they're clean lab certified. You know, it's one of those things where you need something clean. You don't take it to a dirty shop and get it clean. You need to get it clean. You send it off to an actual place that has clean facilities, and you get it cleaned. And, of course, a lot of these new trucks now, the new technology, it's all about keeping things clean, and that's what it is about. So, like I said, check them out, dpfregeneration.com. Give them a call at 800-634-3010. And when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I, because we really do appreciate them. So one of the things I want to remind everybody about, and that's the there's a proposed rule being talked about right now. So when you go to the funny thing is there is an actual website and for everything, and it's regulations.gov. So it's regulations.gov, and what it does is anything that there is a proposed rule that has, and I guess it's like federal law that all proposed rules for any agency has to go through a comment period where they're allowed public comments for at least 30 days. And so every place on here, I mean, there's one from the Department of Labor, there's a couple from the EPA, and then there's a Fish and Wildlife, and the Department of Interior, that's new, request for information to inform interagency working group on mining regulations, laws, and permitting, and that's Department of Interior, Animal, Plant, and Health Inspection Services, and then, oh, actually, you know what, here, so there's so many other comments going on right now that the DOT, the FMCSA that we're looking for, the one that we want to comment on, which is the proposed rule for the FMCSA, it's not listed in the trending. So now it says comments due soon, posted recently today, 71 comments posted today. Let's see if it gives a list. And nope, it's not giving anything. I was going to see maybe if it gives you a list. Let's see, pull up these here. Let's see. Framework. Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot in here. Allegheny River, Pittsburgh, PA. And all sorts of stuff. And I guess, let's see. I guess we'll have to search FMCSA. See what that does. And hours of service. So the one we're looking for is not coming up. Now there's one here. Let's see what this says. Doesn't tell you what it is, but it says docket removed. It says removed and closed per FMCSA created by the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration. And then it doesn't have. There's only been two comments, so it's about intermodal. That's what that's about. So what we're seeing here is that the one that we thought that would be, it's been trending for a while now, and it's the one for speed limiters. And so let's see if I could just pull up speed. I think that might be it right here. Actually, that's just a docket. That's not. Let's pull it up here. Speed limiters on trucks. And heavy truck speed limiting devices, Federal Motor Vehicle Safety Standard. There's only two results on that one, but that doesn't, I don't think that's right. So I'm trying to figure out how we can find it without having to, maybe this is it here, how we find it. Let's see. Truck Maintenance Association, John, and these are comments here. So it might be a little hard to navigate. That's what I was trying to figure out, and that way we can keep sharing it. Now, it is on our Facebook page, if everybody is talking about that. And I'm trying to find it on here again because we pulled it up yesterday. It was on there, and now it's not because it was just listed in the top page as trending. And then if you come it up here, it's I think you need to put the year. That's what it listed before, I think. Yeah, here it is. If you put the year on here, which is 2022, of course, and it's parts and accessories necessary for safe operation. That's the proposed rule. And it's in a comment period. Right now there's just over, it's like 11,300 comments. And the details, of course, they want to implement speed limiters. And this is going to be, of course, this has been since 2016 that they've been looking at this and studying it and all this stuff. And now it's entered into the rulemaking process where it's a public comment period. And the comment period is going to go until June 3rd. So right now, you can go in and you can make public comments. And like I said, right now, there's 11,300 comments, which is pretty good because in the Department of Labor, one of the comments was like for 30 days, and there were like 30,000 comments. And then for the EPA for like 30 days, there was like 40 comments. So I mean, 11,000, that's good. I mean, it's not bad. I'd love to see it like over 100,000. That'd be awesome. Because then you know. And, of course, look, like me and Greg mentioned yesterday, you can go comment all you want. That doesn't mean they have to listen to you. And they probably already made up their mind. They just, you know, they're just doing a formality that they have to do. But it is going to be for any speed require that any vehicle with the ECM, of course, the control module that controls the vehicle for the computer that controls the engine, and it's a vehicle is over 26,000 pounds, which is either the rating of the vehicle or the actual gross vehicle weight. So whenever you see that, it's the gross vehicle weight rating or gross vehicle weight, which is GVWR or GVW, and it's 26,000 pounds or more. And those will have to have the speed limit devices set for whatever speed they determine. They didn't even determine it yet. They don't even know. Like, they can't even decide. And one of the articles said it could be 60, it could be 65, it could be 68. They don't know. So that's on there right now. It started May 3rd. It's going to go for at least 30 days. They say that the time limit is going to be until June 3rd. It says comments must be received on or before June 3rd and of this year, 2022. And it's going to be, you know, and they've got all this jargon about, you know, what the comment must have and all this stuff. But you can go, it's regulations.gov, and the docket number is, it's FMCSA-2022-0004-0001. And, I just, when you go into the front, to the main deal, you just kind of, there's a search bar, and I just put FMCSA. Let's just see if we do FMCSA 2022. And other, so what you need to do is the, there's a little, up at the top, it gives you a little label, and everything says other, everything says supported material and all that, but you need rule. So FMCSA 2022 is not going to cut it, but if you go FMCSA speed limiters 2022, and it'll come up and it'll say proposed rule, and then it'll say parts and accessories. So that's what you need, proposed rule, and it's in the comment period. Parts and accessories necessary for safe operation, authorized windshield area for the installation of vehicle safety technology. So say they even had to change a rule. And this, I guess, for anything, if you want to put like the in the windshield, they wanted to put those cameras or those devices that will – like stop this collision avoidance, they're putting the cameras and the sensors up in the windshield. Well, they needed a rule for that because it's I don't know if you've seen a new truck. Like, I've seen a new Freightliner. That sucker is, like, maybe 13 or 14 inches wide and, like, 6 to 8 inches tall up in the top in the middle of the windshield. And, you know, good thing that we most of us kind of sit back a little bit, a little lower, because if you're tall and you need to use that part of the windshield to see, like I can't use visors. I have to sit, you know, I'm sitting pretty high in the seat. So whenever I'm in the truck, the shade, the visors, they don't help me out because they're blocking my view, because that's how high I am. So I use sunglasses if I need that. So yeah, but that's crazy. Let's go to the phones. I think this is Jeff. Isn't that right?
Yep. Yeah, that is a big old hunk of plastic metal on my windshield. Sure enough is.
Yeah, that's big.
You know, that was something to get used to driving this truck, because I'm like you. I look out towards the top 4 inches of the windshield, and yeah, that's right in the middle of the view of things. So
yeah, especially if you've your own personal dash cam or anything like that, you have to keep it lower now, because it's like you can't put it in that corner because that's being used.
Well, I mount my monitor of my dash cams right behind that big hunk of plastic in the middle. That works pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Yep.
You know, so, but, you know, this speed limiter thing, I hear everybody talking and bitching about it, but as they really thought about how many truckers that are so close to retirement's going to drop out because they don't want to deal with that bullshit.
Well, you know, they're already facing a trucker shortage because of the baby boomer generation is fixing to hit retirement. You know, that's all coming to fruition, that you know, you got the baby boomer thing, you know, where there's more and more people of that age group are falling off. And then now and my thing is that, you know, who's not going into the trucking industry is the younger people. And you know why? Because they'd rather go have a job where they can go get high every weekend.
Yeah, I know it. You know, but me and another trucker was talking about that today, and I thought, you know, I gotta be limited to 63 miles an hour or 65 miles an hour, and that's all I can go. I get bored. I mean, I just get bored, and I get sleepy.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, my God, I told my boss today, I said, are you guys monitoring this truck limiter deal? Nope. Well, then I think it's a good idea. I says, I'll tell you what, you'll lose probably 3/4 of your drivers if that goes through.
Yeah.
He goes, you really think so? I says, well, the four of them I talked to today said, yeah, I'm within a year of retirement, and I can sell my truck, live off what I sell the truck for until retirement comes. Yeah, I don't, you know, a regulation, you know, ELD and all the other stuff. This would be the last thing. I'm not dealing with 10 trucks, 20, you know, down the highway. You can't pass now hardly, you know, and cars. I think I gave to you, I'm pretty sure I messaged you that cartoonature, you know, the cars coming in around the shoulder because they can't pass.
Well, I've seen it. I've seen it because those two lane roads out there, and you got some other truck trying to pass each other like that. It happens all the time. I mean, I don't even need a cartoon to tell me that, because I see it in real life, and it's crazy because
that's true.
It's the drivers. I mean, I've talked about it before.
Well, you watch bonehead truckers, and that happens all the time. People pass on the fog lines, like, God, man.
Well, I mean, my whole thing is that I know that my truck can only go a certain speed. So if I'm in the right lane and I see a truck the side of me on the left and he's going to pass me, but it's taking a little bit too long, I back off of it because I don't want him next to me. I don't want him sitting out there, you know, trying too hard. I'd just rather him get on it and get on go, but I know he's just like me. So I got to back off a little bit. That's my whole deal. And then when I come up to a truck, you know, I guess the only good thing about it I can tell you is that it bugs me because I don't know about your truck, but my truck, if I got the cruise set and I'm coming up on a vehicle, sometimes I'm not really noticing how far ahead that vehicle is, and that vehicle is running slower. My truck will slow down and stay behind that truck.
I will too.
If I'm not like really up on it, like saying, you know, hey, I think that truck's moving too slow. If I don't do that, if I'm just kind of trucking along and and enjoying the day and everything and not really paying attention to how fast I'm going, it's like, man, now I'm going like 58 miles an hour. How'd that happen? You know, and everything. Yep. So yeah, you're right. It's kind of like you, I don't know. It's just, I don't like it. I'm driving down the road
and I see a prime truck in front of me. I'm switching lanes because I know he's going 63, 64
exactly.
miles an hour.
And what I thought,
speed limiters, all these prime trucks won't be passed anymore. They'll feel, oh, God, thank God they got limiters now that everybody's my speed.
Right. Well, and my whole thing is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, and they don't realize this, because Swift actually saw an increase in accidents, because when you take, like what happened was Swift bought out MS Carrier back in the day, right? Well, MS Carrier was running 68.
Right.
They were running all 68 miles an hour. Well, if you were an MS Carrier driver, they said you can run at 68. We're not going to back your truck down. Well, they had the Swift trucks running 65. So what happened was that a driver worked for MS Carrier. He said, you know what, enough of this crap. I ain't doing this. And he quit. Well, then he couldn't go work for anybody else because he's, you know, I don't know. He just maybe couldn't go find another job anywhere else or whatever. So he came back. Well, when he came back, they said, well, you're no longer an MS Carrier employee. You're a Swift employee now, and you're going to go to 65. Well, the deal is when a truck driver is used to going a certain speed, they get into certain areas and they slow down. When they get into heavy traffic, they'll slow down. They'll say, you know what, I was going 70. I'm coming into Dallas or I'm coming into a big city. I'll slow down to 60 because I need to be careful because of all the traffic. Well, now, when you got a truck going too slow like that and he's governed, he's going to top it out every chance he gets. And it's going to be, you know, I'm doing 65 out in the middle of nowhere on Interstate 20. Well, guess what? I'm going right through Dallas and I'm going to max it out and run and not – I don't want to get off of it. I want to keep going. And they're not going to slow down.
Yeah, construction zones, you see that? Construction zones today. The slower trucks won't slow down.
Right. Yep, the ones that are running 65 and 60, they just run 60. They just run 65 the whole time. The whole time. And it's like
even when they go down one lane. What I'd like to see talked about, if they're going to put limiters in these trucks, they need to put the mechanisms on the phones that when the phone is moving, you can't text. And I don't know, you know, why they don't make them like that, because every smartphone in the country has got GPS in them. People use them to navigate on Google Maps. Well, that mechanism should be able to tell that phone, I can't do any texting. It's impossible for me to send or receive a text message while I'm driving. If the phone companies would put that in their phones, all these yahoos that are, I mean, I'd say 90% of the cars that pass me today have got a phone in their hand and they're texting. I don't care if they're going 80 mile an hour or they're going 30 mile an hour. They're all got their phones in their hands, and that would eliminate that. And I just think that should be in today's technology, why that isn't an option for these phone manufacturers.
Well, there was a state trooper went and talked to my mother's Kiwanis group one time, and they were talking about safety and distracted driving. And this was about 10 years ago when smartphones were just, you know, in their infancy and everything. And the funny thing was that the state trooper said that there aren't that many laws restricting the use of a phone while driving. Because the people that make the laws, they use their phone while they're driving. they don't want to be restricted from using their phone while they're driving. And of course, you know, a lot of states, they have the school zone thing or in the construction zone thing. But other than that, there's not really that many rules and everything. And of course, the federal government, they control the big trucks. So they made it a law in all the big trucks because they can and everything. So I would like to see, you know, most places, of course, a lot of these carriers, they have a zero tolerance. And I'll just say this. I see carriers all the time that they announce and they put on their websites and on their rule books and all that, we have zero tolerance for using the phone while you're driving. And then the next thing you know, you're going down the road and you get a phone call or a text message from your supervisor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, wait a minute now, I'm not supposed to be doing that. And they're like, well, where yet? And I was like, I, you know, so yeah, it's, and of course we use the hands-free thing. And of course, a lot of our headsets, I know mine does, where as long as I got the headset on and the phone rings, I can either hit the button on the side of my head or I can even answer it with my voice. So yep. That's not hard, but even talking on the phone sometimes, I mean, you know, it's not like I'm not paying attention at all. Like I'll be going down the road and of course having a conversation with somebody on the cell phone in my headset and everything. And I'm in my lane, I'm paying attention. My speed's good. I know that there's stuff around me and all that. The problem is that, you know, I just forget that I'm actually needed to turn or go somewhere. Like I got a destination to go to instead of just getting down the road.
I think just about everybody that uses a headset has had this happen to them. They're talking and all of a sudden, oh shoot, I just missed my exit.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause
it's you weren't one of thinking, you're talking.
Yeah. And it's not like you're saying, it's not that I'm not driving. I'm driving the truck down the road. It's just, I forget that I have a destination to get to. I have a place to go. And that's what you don't realize sometimes. I mean, I even sometimes do that where I'm getting down the road and I forget that I have a destination to go to. And then I'm like, well, you know what? Where's that exit?
Well, they're inoperable when they're moving. That would save a lot of problems.
No,
but
I agree.
I remember back when I was training and a student didn't have a headset, I made him keep his phone back in the sleeper so he wasn't ever tempted.
Oh, yeah, okay.
It was just always a requirement for me to have a headset.
Yeah, yeah. When I first started, when I came in, that was 1997, and when I was a student, I was with this trainer for 4 weeks. The first 2 weeks, I could not have anything on, no CB, no radio, nothing for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, correct.
Yep.
That was my rule, too. I would not let them do that because – you know, there's a lot to think about. You know, I always got a kick out of the brand-new driver coming out of driver school. You know, he just wanted to look straight ahead. I said, no.
Yeah,
I need
you
looking in both mirrors.
Exactly.
And so I am looking. I says, you ain't looking. Your head ain't moving. Well, I can see out of the corners of my eyes. No, I want to see that head move. I want to see you check that mirror. You know, and I just don't think they train that way. I think a lot of training anymore isn't trained that way. I think, well, my trainer, I remember at the time, he says, man, you're too rigid when you drive. Put your foot up on the dash, relax.
Yeah.
And I said, you're my trainer and you say to do that? Yeah. I said, bullshit. This driver will never have his foot on the dash while he's driving a truck.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. I even had the rule when I was training that, you know, you had to have your shoes on. No taking your shoes off while you're driving, nothing like that. And in fact, our rule was that if you were in the sleeper, your shoes had to be in the floorboard of the passenger seat so that if the driver got out of the truck and they got back in the truck and they didn't see those shoes, they knew that driver wasn't in the sleeper. Cause that's happened before too.
That's
driver,
good, yeah.
Yeah. Driver, team drivers, you know, the guy stops for a little bit.
Yep.
He gets out, goes use bathroom, make a phone call, whatever you need to do. And the other driver will get out, and of course, you know, it's like, you know, it's more important for me to go to the bathroom than it is to find you and tell you I'm going to the bathroom. So they, you know, get out and go separate ways or whatever. And I had that happen where a student stopped to take a break, and then they walked out, and they were like getting ready to go, and I come up there and they were like, I didn't even realize you weren't in the truck, and I said, well, you'd see my shoes. And they're like, you know what? I forgot to look. I said, well, there you go. That's what you got to do. You know, see? So, yeah.
Yeah.
And and we even had a deal. I mean, my trainer, he always had a hat. You know, he wore a hat. I wore a ball cap. And he always put his hat on the dash on the passenger side. So the hat was always what I could see. If the hat was gone, you know, then I knew he wasn't in the truck because it was sitting on the dash. It's easy to see. But, yeah, I mean, you got to have something when you're a team driver to let them know. You know, it's like, always keep your phone with you or something like that, but it's always, you know, look for something, you know, and everything, because when the curtain's closed and then you're in and out of the truck as the driver, you don't want to open the curtain and double check all the time because you don't want to disturb the driver. So, yeah.
I had a young kid one time ask me, he says, hey, man, is there any way I can, which way are you going? I told him, he goes, can I catch a ride with you? He said, my trainer left me behind. He said, find a road. I'm up here. I'm not turning around to get you. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's crazy. Yeah, our funny story was is that we had a guy. He was doing orientation. He used to do the orientation and the training way back in the day, you know, in the 70s and 80s. And he was doing orientation, and I was the guy doing the training assignments and everything. And his funny story was is like, make sure that if you need to get off the trainer's truck, if you and the trainer have a discussion, have some kind of problem, and you want off the truck, you don't want to get on the truck, and make sure that there's some place for you to go or a way you can get transportation to where you need to go. Don't just jump off the truck anywhere. So the driver, his story was, the driver got mad at his trainer. They were somewhere up in Montana. He stopped at the truck stop. He got off the truck, took his stuff. He's like, I'm not getting back in that truck. And the trainer went on. And the driver's sitting there at this truck stop. Well, he saw a Greyhound sign that said, you know, Greyhound bus stop and all that. So he's like, well, then I can catch a Greyhound. So he calls the dispatcher, and the guy says, yeah, okay, I'll get you a bus ticket. He calls the Greyhound. The Greyhound says, well, we ain't had a bus stop there in 15 years. Because there was this old sign, old rickety sign. So he's like, make sure that that's a place you can get off, you know, and all that. And he's like, don't get off the truck unless you know for sure that you got a place to be, a place to go, something. So yeah, because it happens all the time. It's amazing to me how it gets so bad that they just have to jump off. You know, I mean, I've had guys come into the terminals. You know, we get to a terminal, sitting there at my desk thinking everything's great, and the student walks in. I'm like, how are things going? He goes, I need a new trainer. This guy ain't. I don't like this guy. So, you know, it's one of those things. Yeah. So yeah, it happens all the time.
I had a kid get out of my truck at a consignee in California. I just got done talking to what door they wanted me to put the trailer in. I came back out of the truck, and here's my trainee. He's got his duffel bag on the ground and everything. I said, what are you doing? He goes, I'm getting the hell out of this truck. I go, what the hell for? He says, because I'm not going to drive truck no more. He's one of these kids fresh out of the military. He thought he knew everything about trucking. Yep. And back in the day, our company had a policy. They had to learn how to double clutch. And this kid refused to learn to double clutch. Because in the Army, military, they used automatics. And I said, I need to see that double clutch moving on your foot. And he would make his knee move like he's double clutching. I said, that's kind of funny. The clutch pedal ain't moving, but your knee is. Oh, he got mad at me. You know, he says, I'm going to get out of this truck and drive. I said, no, you're not. You can't drive until I sign off on your paper. And he says, oh, you're full of shit. And I says, call your student manager up. So he did. And the student manager says, yep. He says, Jeff has got final say so. If you're going to become a trucker with this company or not. He says, yep. I'm going to a different company. And I says, well, where are you going? He goes, I got a cab outside of the gate picking me up. I said, all right, see ya.
That's what it's all about. I mean, the guys, I had one guy, he said he just couldn't be home. He couldn't be away from home. He had to go home. He couldn't stay out on the road and be away from home with the family and everything. He couldn't do it. He needed to be home. And I said, well, you know, that's the way it is. Because, I mean, you know, you can get a job where you can be home every day, but they're not going to just give them to you. You know, they're not just going to hand them out. It goes to people that are already been out on the road. That's what that is all about. So, yeah, you know. But, yeah, it's
my trainer told me when I first got in the truck, you know, he said, I want to tell you right now, it takes a special breed to do what we do. He says, you gotta enjoy being away from home. You got to enjoy the road. He says 3 to 4 weeks, count on it. Every time for any company, it's going to be about a 3-week minimum between home times. And I guess I was that breed. That was 14 years ago. So,
well, I mean, I've met people. I've met engineers. I've met doctors that say, you know, you do amazing because I couldn't do it. You know, so that's, you know, it is. You're right. It's a special breed of person where you got to be able to be by yourself. You know, and all that. And of course, you know, take the beating that you're going to take with, you know, what we call guilty until proven innocent and all that stuff like that. It's funny how, you know, I remember one time this guy called in. Remember Alan Combs? Remember that guy on the radio? He would do a radio show.
Oh.
And he was with Sean Hannity on Fox News for a while, but he's a liberal guy, but he had a good radio show. And he had the Department of Transportation, either Secretary of Transportation or a former Secretary of Transportation. They were talking about the truck driver shortage. How come there's not that many people driving truck? And this guy called in, his truck driver, and he's like, well, you know, nobody wants to be a truck driver no more. And this was 15 years ago. And he said, nobody wants to be a truck driver no more. All the rules, regulations, all the changes and all that crap you got to put up with and everything like that. And he's like, and then Alan Combs was like, what do you do it for? And he's like, oh, the freedom of the open road. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, it's not that way anymore.
Like this other trucker that I was talking about, he says, you know, maybe it's a good idea they're getting these autonomous trucks figured out, because they got to start putting limiters in. The autonomous truck don't care how slow he's going, you know, so drivers like me that ain't going to run 50, 60 miles an hour day in and day out, mile after mile, we're gonna get out of it.
Yeah.
Maybe the autonomous truck is the only way to go, because they don't care, you know?
Yeah, I could see autonomous trucks. I was talking about that earlier because they were talking about it, how there are a lot more autonomous trucks out there on the highway. Of course, they're only between like California, like LA and Phoenix, or Phoenix and Dallas. They're not running all over the road. They're not like, you know, just, they're only doing special routes and everything, but I can see it. I can see autonomous trucks like leave Atlanta and go to Kansas City, or leave Dallas and go to Chicago. I can see that. What I don't see is, I don't see them making the deliveries into, like, you know, Corpus Christi or Lincoln, Nebraska. I don't see autonomous trucks doing that, because you're still going to have the regional drivers doing the stuff to the actual customers and everything. What you're going to see is just how, remember, you know how they do when FedEx and all them run triples, or they run those turnpike doubles. You know, they run down the highway, yep, and then they stop off the side of the road, and then they unhook, and somebody else will run it the rest of the way into the yard or whatever. You know, so I can see them doing that. I can see them running autonomous trucks just on the interstate between, like, you know, Denver and St. Louis or something. You know, it's just,
I passed three of them 3 weeks ago when I was coming out of, or I went into Sacramento, out of Reno, and then back, mm-hmm, to Reno. I passed three of them. I'm almost positive that they're autonomous trucks. They still have drivers behind the wheel, but they have great big camera boxes mounted across the visor and above the rear view mirrors, and then down on the hood across those mirrors. These big cameras with lenses. So if they weren't autonomous, they were collecting data for the autonomous truck.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of these companies, when 60 Minutes did a deal on them, the companies, you know, they're all autonomous trucks, every single one of them. They got like 10 or 15 of them at this one company in Phoenix, and they're all autonomous, but they still have at least a driver and an engineer in the truck at all times, because they're still kind of in the testing phase.
Right.
But they're hauling freight, they're not hauling it from customer to customer. They're hauling it from their yard to their other yard. And then somebody else will take that freight and take it to the customers. So, yeah. So that I can
I know
see that.
We're in infant stages of it, but I didn't think I'd ever see it, but I think we're going to see it the day, and within 10 years, that there's going to be trucks like that on the road.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I can see that,
too.
They've been working on
these speed limiters now for 7 years.
Yep.
And if they get that passed, they're going to eliminate another huge chunk of drivers.
Yep. Yep. I agree with that. Well, cool deal. Yeah, we got about 5 minutes left. I mean, I got to get to work, so I don't know about you.
Damn it, boy.
Damn it, boy.
I am working. I'm 36 miles from Asheville.
Okay.
I started out my week in Olympia, Washington. And I'm just about ready to drop this trailer. It's been a long trip.
Man, I tell you.
But what I'm shocked of, this is supposed to be a safety week.
Ain't nobody
out there. I've only seen two scales. I've only seen two scales open between here and Washington.
There ain't nobody checking. Ain't nobody checking. Ain't nobody doing nothing. Of course, I'm in South Texas, and, you know, they don't check nothing down here. But I was going down Interstate 35 in Austin, and the guy, this big truck passed me. He was going probably about 75 miles an hour and down south of Austin on his way to San Antonio, and he had three lights working on the truck. Three. One headlight and two taillights. That's it. No overhead lights, no clearance lights, nothing. No side lights, nothing. It was two in the back, and the one headlight was working. That was it. And he was just going down the road.
But only three scales open in 2,500, 2,600 miles now. That's incredible.
Yeah, ain't nobody checking. Some
safety week.
Yeah, nobody cares. Yep. That's what everybody, you know, everybody stays on top of their stuff, but nobody cares. Why, you know what? How do you expect me to care about my truck? You know, of course, I care about my truck because I want to take care of my truck. But you see guys down there, they don't have steps. You know, they don't have, they got wires hanging, hoses dragging. They don't care. You know, and they don't get pulled over.
I was a little embarrassed the night before safety blitz. I said, well, I know my truck's in good working order, but let's see what the permit book looks like, you know? I'm going through the pages of the permit book, and my DOT tractor inspection had expired January. It's like, I better get this inspected in just for in case I do get caught in one of these inspections. They will look at that most likely.
Yeah. Well, that's all they – I mean, that's the easy thing to check is the permit book because you got to bring it to them on the scale. they don't have to get out their chair. They don't have to get up from the chair to check that thing.
I couldn't believe it. I omitted. I forgot about that until now. 3 months driving on expired DOT inspection.
Well,
I shoot my company. I said, you're supposed to flag it. Yeah, he goes, I don't know what's wrong with our system. He goes, I guess that's a good case showing ours that our systems ain't working. I says, well, maybe you need to do a safety check within the company, huh?
There you go.
So, all right, man. Well,
all right, bud. Yep.
Talk to you later.
Yep. Take care now. We'll see you. All right. Good deal. All right, man. We're going to wrap it up here. Let's see. Let's take it to where are we at? I didn't hit it right. That's not the one I want.
Girl, he taught me how.
Well, everybody, go ahead and check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. I'd like to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com, or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. That's a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado, and all the drivers over there tell me they're drop-dead busy. They got plenty to do. They got hazmat, temperature control, expedited, special handling, all that stuff. So go check them out, ltrtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support. Like I said, redneckandeyes.com is where we're at. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. And I got to get to work. So everybody take care out there and keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Kind of just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a long highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jeep guitar. Now smoking in a Texas with a hammer down and a rockin' little copper from the guitar down. Hey, pretty baby, don't you do it?